these are real words.
Well, maybe. We'll get to that later. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
You go.
James.
And Jenna. And special guest tonight is...
David Ray McKay.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Salsa has once again decided that he is too good for us.
Hey, he's not. Wrong.
No, he's wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's Salsa. It doesn't even matter if he's right or not. He's wrong.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, he's rehearsing like he does.
Things.
For, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Whatnot. Yeah. But we do have a lovely guest joining us.
The lovely and talented.
The lovely and talented David.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, everybody.
And you are a Rand McKay now?
I'm a Rand McKay now.
Yes.
No longer just a McKay.
No longer just a McKay. Now we're a
now
team.
Now we hyphen it. Yeah.
A hyphen
right.
It.
A mighty league.
Yeah.
For justice. Not to be confused with...
Justice League?
The Justice League.
Oh, not just a Justice League.
Right.
The Justice League.
The.
But they can be a Justice League.
They could be a league for justice.
A league for justice.
Yeah, there's just franchise fees.
Right.
You gotta pay up.
Right.
Exactly.
But they'll get a percentage of the justice.
It's a little strip mall shop. David's Justice League. Yeah.
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 No, I like it. Hey, we should drink something.
We should do.
I have no idea what I have made. I have no idea if it's good. I just threw a bunch of random things into a glass. I used the coconut rum, which I believe I am not allergic to, so we'll find out.
We're about to, yeah.
So the items in this drink include coconut rum, regular rum, blue curacao, honey whiskey.
Oh, boy.
And some grenadine. David said he liked it sweet.
Yeah, if you've ever looked at your drink and thought, I wish this was more alcoholic.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's rather bluish, although the grenadine has sunk to the bottom.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it's got like a weird sunrise separation.
It does. It's a sunrise.
Little purple dollop at the bottom. Oh. That's like the deep part of the ocean.
Oh.
Where it gets darker.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to call this the deep, dark secret.
Or per David, the Marinara Trench.
Oh, certainly.
Ooh.
That was a long time ago, but that was a joke that you made.
That's
on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, yay. All right. Yeah. Well, because this is for David, this is the Marinara Trench.
The Marinara Trench.
All right. Let's try it.
All right.
Tastes like burning.
Mm.
Oh. It's a sweet burn.
Thank you. It is. It is sweet at first. Sweet at first, just like myself.
Yeah, this will be sipping for like the next 3 days.
Woo.
That's.
I've never had made a fireball before.
I have.
But I feel like I could.
Yeah. No. Mm. This is all right, kids. Wow.
The taste, like the flavor of it, is not bad.
Yeah, the flavor is great. Ooh. After you get past all of the fire shooting out of your mouth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mouth.
That's something else. This actually reminds me a lot of, you know, you spoke about the Marianas Trench, or the, as I said in our sketch,
right,
the Maria Trench, because I played a dumb character. Off course of Belize is the Blue Hole Dive, which is an area of the ocean that suddenly becomes very, very deep, and it's so deep that when you're overhead, it's light blue, and then it turns a dark, dark blue.
Hmm.
And I've dove there.
What's that called again?
The Blue Hole Dive.
The Blue Hole Dive. Let's call this the Blue Hole Dive.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
I like that. There we go. The Blue Hole Dive, because, man, boy howdy, you're going in deep.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey.
I thought I was going to work tonight.
No.
Ah.
Well, you are.
Not at the job I had.
No. Drink for the job you want. Not the job you have.
Wake up tomorrow after having won a leather show is what's going to happen. my roommate accidentally won a leather show.
What? I want to hear this story.
Okay, so a couple of months ago, a friend's friend became my friend, and this process happened while he was moving in. He needed a place to stay, and ended up having to move in a sort of an urgent way. We had an open room, so we said, cool, you seem cool, move in.
You have an exciting life.
Sometimes. He moved in, and then a little while later, he was like, I wore kind of my favorite leather stuff to the saloon, and I won the prize. I was there, they were doing a leather thing, and I decided to do that. And so now he's going to be trying out for the finals.
Wow.
So he showed up for Casual Friday, and his Casual Friday is what they were judging that day.
They were judging regionals, and he's already moving up to the finals.
Damn. Well done.
Well, yeah. Good on him.
Right? I love it when I accidentally just stumble into a leather contest. Like, those are pretty much the best days.
Right.
And then win, obviously.
Right, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
I think that's just going to be my excuse for just dressing bizarrely. It's like, I thought there was a contest.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Oh,
my goodness. I can wear my princess stuff every day now.
Exactly.
I thought there was a princess contest. No, we told you last week there's no princess contest. Well, what about Thursday? Is there a princess contest on Thursday? No. Well, that's a shame because I'm going to wear my princess dress.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case somebody springs one on me last minute. Right. I got to be prepared.
Over there, the creeping kid. It's perfect for my new film, The Creeping Kid. Eddie Izzard is amazing.
God.
Yes. So,
just bring a first place badge in your back pocket, you know, just
a little blue ribbon. So,
they're not having a blue ribbon contest, although I have been to many a Scotchtoberfest.
I thought you were going to say you went to a... Okay, anyway, continue.
Because
maybe this will turn out the way I had it.
Somebody of whom I'm aware.
That's a nice phrase.
Has a very regular stint at Dragon Con and other conventions doing kilt blowings.
Which is that everything that I think it is?
It's everything that those two words entail.
Yes!
So
you need to get a kilt.
I have one.
I'm just gonna go watch.
So
is this like a Marilyn Monroe under the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Leaf blower plus kilted person equals adventure. Yep. So could be a blue ribbon contest.
Excellent.
All right.
They've never seen that blowy to me. You know, like, they're too kind of starchy.
How many leaf blowers have you taken to someone in a kilt?
Several.
Oh,
I thought you were just going to stop at taken, and I was like, "Wow, buddy.
Were they on?
you seem to have been missing a step, sir.
That's, story of my life,
So anyway, hey, James.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? Should I just not ask that?
I just in brief today I went to a funeral. It's been a tough little bit of a while, but things will be okay. Mm-hmm. Things will be okay. New job is working out.
Excellent.
I like it.
That's great.
Moving into my new place is starting well. I'm excited to live there. We're talking big plans. Went thrift shopping with my best friend / husband-in-law.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
My hetero life mate, Charles. We went thrift shopping together, and we stumbled across some uranium glass. Which was something made in the, I believe, middle 1940s to middle 1950s before people realized what a terrible fucking idea that is. It's glass that actually has uranium embedded in it.
Right.
It glows very slightly under black light and just in general.
And you own this now?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's slightly translucent. in a really pleasant way. It is beautiful, but it's also radioactive. So he has a curio cabinet that is specifically intended for that kind of thing. So,
like lead-based kind of a thing?
Well, it's designed to display without cooking your family. So
nice.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Do you guys know about the Uranium Girls?
Oh, yeah. But yeah. Go ahead, yeah, if you want to.
Oh, if you want to do it. You're the guest. You should talk sometimes.
Oh, dear God. That's me faking that I knew what she was talking about.
Uranium Girls, take that.
I believe that they actually became poisoned in the process of early uranium manufacture, right?
Didn't They were, you would use uranium on watches.
That's right. It was much more common,
painting
right?
with
uranium,
yeah.
Radium. Yep. That kind of stuff, yeah.
So they would paint with it to get it that nice little glowy thing. And as they went to like put on numbers and stuff, they would lick the paintbrush. And because it's way faster than dipping or anything else like that, so that they could get the nice fine lines in there. And then their teeth started falling out.
Yeah.
And then their everything else started falling out.
Yeah.
They also had a fantastic nickname, like a glowing girl or a something like that. I can't remember for sure.
Because I believe they actually kind of glow.
They actually started to glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's absolutely just fascinating to me.
And then they formed the Justice League, right?
They did.
Is that what happened?
They did actually form like a
union,
a case type thing.
Yeah.
They were the basis for better working conditions and other like safety things to be put in place.
Very
so
similar.
It was a Justice League.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. It's better because they were actually existed.
So right, yeah.
Reminds me of the Matchstick Girls.
Ooh, tell me about
like
the Matchstick Girls.
No.
Well,
I mean, I know the story
early,
about the Matchstick
early
girl,
industrialization,
but...
making matchsticks was incredibly dangerous and unhealthy.
Sulfur. Sure.
You were exposed to a lot of unsavory chemicals, and especially not being allowed to take the time to take your lunch anywhere but at the workbench,
right?
Your food would become covered in chemicals. And so you would ingest a lot of that highly toxic stuff. That and, you know, bringing up racks of matches and things like that was because they were strike anywhere. It was kind of fucking dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you would just have stacks and stacks of those things. So there were fires and like severe health repercussions and things like that. Very similar to the to the Uranium Girls. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Poor girls.
There are stuff you missed in history class episodes about it, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So
another worthy podcast to check out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Possibly worthier.
Yeah, if you're interested in something
worthy,
not hosted by us.
Yeah.
Boo on that.
Well, I appreciate your enthusiasm.
I appreciate your, I don't want to say lack of enthusiasm, but your enthusiastic negativity towards other groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's, right.
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Which ends up being net positive for us.
For us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, not as much of a booster of you guys as just hate everyone else, I guess.
Right.
That's
which
fair.
Makes us look great.
It still makes us look better. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone else is terrible.
Jenna.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I don't even remember anymore.
Well,
okay.
There was a movie.
So,
night.
We saw Frankenstein.
There was. Okay. I'm going to try to do this in order lest I forget. I did, I saw, Frankenstein, by Green Tea, which was amazing. Previous guest, Matthew Kesson was one of the Frankensteins that they had.
Mm-hmm.
They did kind of an overlay of a couple of different types of Frankensteins. so he was the movie one with the high forehead and the bolts out of the neck. And
his
makeup was incredible.
Yes.
He fucking looked the part. And his movement was dead on and everything
else. Like being a 7-foot tall dude.
I mean, you know, that helped.
Yeah.
But
also, he's obsessed with monsters, so he knew right. full yeah. out, like, how to do this dead arm look on mm-hmm. the walk and just how to do...
Yeah. No, everything about mm-hmm. that was just fantastic. The entire show, I enjoyed a lot. It was very busy, but in a way that I appreciated.
Hmm.
I'm not sure it's, like, for everybody, but sure. I think there were a large group of people that just were like, oh, I don't know where to look. This is so cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, at any one point in time.
Like a Cirque show.
You would often have, you'd have three different Frankensteins. You would have Matt and the giant classic. You would have little Natalie Wass, who is very little, and it's a chance for her to play Frankenstein, but she had more of a
makeup
makeup kind of a...
She was much more the book version. The
gotcha.
Into, like, the original interpretations.
The
yeah.
fiend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there was a puppet that was basically looked like cadaver parts, right?
Oh,
yeah.
At first I was charmed, and now I'm
unsure. No, it was still charming. It was not super realistic. It was just, this is, it was very large, like 15, 20 feet tall, something like that. Yeah, like they had it on scaffolding and everything, and it was real enough to be like, oh, hey, that's what they're doing. Like, they didn't do it poorly or anything, but it was definitely a much more abstract version.
Sure. Like a Bunraku puppet or something.
You know, this is how dumb I was. While we were doing the Give to the Max, I totally didn't realize that was a Frankenstein set that we were doing all that stuff on. I was like, this is a pretty cool set we have set up here. Well, we got masks and we got things. It was like, that was a Frankenstein set.
That was a Frankenstein setup, yeah. We just crashed their set. Whatevs.
It was nice, you know.
So, yeah. Saw that. Did a Friendsgiving.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Here at the Sterling's house, with all of my favorite people,
aww.
Not all of my favorite people, but a bunch of my favorite people. All the people that were here were some of my favorites.
The only people missing were you, dear listeners.
Yeah, that. So anyway, so that was delightful. We ended up playing a game called Dear Lord, which was incredible. Like deer. Yes.
Dear Lord?
Yeah. I was like, as a Christian, I feel like I should be vaguely uncomfortable
holding up my hands like antlers.
Like antlers. But yeah, it was a kind of a storytelling, kind of a fuck your neighbor kind of game, which delighted me.
There's nothing more churchgoer than that.
There was a lot of bullshittery going, no, thou shalt not.
Oh, thou shalt not steal your neighbor's wife's popcorn.
I love my neighbor's wife's popcorn, though.
It's good popcorn.
It's real good popcorn.
It's real hot.
There were guidelines and rules, right?
Yeah, you know, like the 10 suggestions.
Right, exactly.
Right.
No, but it was a super fun game. I enjoyed that immensely. There was, in fact, another Thanksgiving thing that I attended Saturday. Where we watched god-awful movies.
Yeah,
I got to be there from the beginning. James showed up later.
Yeah.
It was, let's see. I started with, Ginger Dead Man. Which is, in fact, a gingerbread man who's somehow like a serial killer's ashes got mixed into the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And the serial killer comes back to life in the form of this gingerbread man.
Right.
And he tries to finish the killing job that he was on earlier, which happened to be in the same bakery that he was made in. Right. So there was Ginger Dead Man. And then we were going to watch Ginger Dead Man 2, but it wasn't available on Hulu. So we watched Ginger Dead Man 3.
Right.
The roller version, like Ginger Dead Man travels back in time to 1976, you know, in a time machine like you do, that is specifically made for food.
You know, like an Easy Bake Oven.
Right.
But DeLorean.
Yes. So anyway, he's being chased and he takes this thing back to 1976 and... it's a roller garden and they're just, there's disco, so much disco. There are balls and there are people in outfits. There's this yellow plaidish kind of leisure suit and like sparkles and fringe and fucking.
I'm terrified already.
Right. It was pretty scary.
Is Gingerbread, is that Ginger Dead Man? Is that literally someone thought of the name and they're just like, we'll figure it out.
Pretty.
But we
I
got
so.
The name first.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Sure. That's all we need, guys, is the name.
I will say it was ridiculously delightful. I have discovered that I love these shitty movies so much. I could not stop laughing. I thought I was going to pass
out.
That's
great.
It was something incredibly stupid or over the top would happen, and I would just bust out. And, like, everybody else is looking at me, and I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I can't help myself. They're like, no, we love watching you do this. I'm like, oh, I feel so put on. Okay. So, yeah, then we watched Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually quite enjoyed Thanksgiving. I did not enjoy Thanksgiving 3.
No, none of us.
None of us did.
Yeah. So
we made it through like the first 15 minutes, I think.
No. So we watched all of Thanksgiving, which was,
so delightfully awful.
Somehow amazingly rated 4 stars
on Amazon Prime. I love it. It's so...
It was
the shitty movie. It was
real bad.
Oh,
yeah,
it was an independent.
Yeah.
Yep. When they did it. So like you had all the audio issues that you normally have
because
with independent films.
No one wanted to make it. I went back and I read the trivia for it and they were like, yeah, no studio wanted. It's like, oh, well, I mean,
no wonder why. But it does have the most iconic line ever, which is gobble gobble motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so that was 4 stars, and then we're paging through. There's no Thanksgiving 2 for reasons.
Ooh.
And Thanksgiving 3 was 2 stars, and I think it was Meredith that said, how can it possibly be worse?
Oh,
how is this 2 stars?
Two stars was generous.
35 minutes in, we were like, well, you know, if it's already, like, if we're getting close to the end, no, we're not.
I don't think we made it as far as 30 minutes. I think you're
so far from the end. Maybe. It seemed like 35 minutes.
It felt like 5 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, guys. That's where it gets
good. No, no, I don't
think it's good. Like the runner's high, that's where you start to get
endorphins. Oh, God.
Once your nipples start to chafe.
Oh, God damn it. Thanksgiving 3. By the way, short synopsis is about how there is no Thanksgiving 2.
Yeah.
And so the murder turkey is going to... What? That's what he is. He's a murder turkey.
No, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a vegan propaganda film.
No,
I didn't see that.
No,
the turkey comes back and they're like, hey, guys, pay up.
No.
So Murder Turkey decides that he's going to go rescue Thanksgiving 2.
Yeah.
All of the copies have been destroyed except for one. So he has to go and then he like kills his son and his son becomes a part of the DVD. I don't know. It was ridiculous.
There's a
like,
lot to unpack there.
It was, I think it would have been better if they hadn't gotten better quality on what they were doing.
Yeah.
They fixed the sound issues, and I kind of wish they had.
They fixed the lighting issues, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sound and the lighting, the editing was better.
So really, if they had all this energy to focus,
like
you would have been like, guys,
editing.
Less on how it looks, more on the substance, if they had a budget.
They definitely
energy.
More on the substance. That was not the...
Oh, I get it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was awful.
Like there was an adorable puppet, and there was so much. Maybe that was a lot of it. Was that
there was just
a lot,
too much fucking shit going on. Less stuff going on, more killing. We don't need 18 million different subplots. Just fucking give us the killing, the shitty, shitty killing. Do not recommend. Do not watch. Like. I thought it'd be like, okay, this will be so awful, it'll be good. Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, it turns out there is a basement to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also watched Black Sheep.
Yes. Oh, which was surprisingly good.
That was way better than it should have been.
Is this the Chris Farley? No.
No, different from that. That was the 1996 Black Sheep. This is the 2006? Something.
Right.
Black Sheep with effects from the Weta Workshop.
Wow.
Yeah. The same people who did special effects for The Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Named after a giant bug.
Yeah, and the movie itself was, I mean, it was bad.
It was.
But it was bad in such a wonderfully put together way of being bad. Mm. Like, it knew that it was doing bad, bad things to us. and glorified in it just enough without shoving it in our faces. And that was, it was just, yeah. Got a little extra weird towards the end, which is kind of impressive. But, I recommend that for all of your shitty movie needs.
Yeah, if any of the films that we watched were sort of a pro-vegan thing, I would say that one probably.
Yep. That was probably it.
Yeah. It was a lot.
And then we watched a bunch of the thumb movies.
Oh, God.
Watched.
Yeah.
Bat Thumb and Thumbtanic and... did we watch Thumb Wars?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Okay. I had been drinking pretty early at that point, so...
Save the bad movies for the heavy drinking part of it, and you get, really. You start out with the good.
I think those things coincide no matter when they happen in the party.
Right. I think I started drinking during Thanksgiving 3 because, Jesus fuck, what else was I going to do?
Right.
And, yeah. So by the time we hit the thumb movies, I was like, meh. But if you've not seen the thumb movies, they are silly little things, and I recommend them. Not as much laugh-out-loud hilarity for me.
Right.
It wasn't any of those, like, surprise, this is shitty kind of moments. You just knew what you were getting into. But it was still delightful and silly.
They're Steve Odekirk jams.
Oh, so. Steve Odekirk. To me, bad films are often inspiring because I'm kind of like, you know what?
I could do better.
When I fail, like, it'll still be better than a lot of other money-making failures. You know?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Inspiring.
I did that. What else did I do? I don't remember. Dyed my daughter's hair tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. We're waiting for it to dry to really get... It was the second that we tried dyeing it yesterday, and it just didn't come up very well. So we tried, doing a little bit of color stripping and dyeing it again tonight. And we were going for purple, and it looks kind of pinkish.
Hmm.
I'm really unhappy with the whole thing.
Hmm.
But anyway, so we may or may not try it again, but
sure.
It was an adventure. It was, it was nice to have that mother-daughter time, you know, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm dyeing Jess's hair. I was like, oh,
I know.
Aww.
I get to dye my daughter's hair. I didn't get to make her like frilly dresses or shit growing up. So dyeing her hair is like the next best chick bonding thing. So, I did other things, but I can't think right now.
Mm.
So, what are other things you did?
Well, you know, I was also forced to watch a whole bunch of really terrible movies. My friend Pat, he made me watch all of the Star Wars movies, which are plenty good movies, but he included we had to watch the prequels.
Right.
Which are... You know, he felt like, these are better than I remember. And I'm like, you're drunk.
Did he follow it up with Kirk Cameron's Left Behind series? Or is
with all of the Star Wars movies, to do them all, we needed the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you watch the holiday special?
No, but it's only because I've seen it recently, and they're going to go to there's a charity event at the Bright Lake Bowl that happens every year, and they're going to go to that. It's like in a week. It's where they show
okay.
it.
Okay.
So it will be viewed. I've watched it. I know full.
It's delicious.
Well, Carrie Pat's wife was insistent that characters from the Star Wars special were in the prequels in quick background scenes, but I think it was a bit of a wish fulfillment on her part.
Well, that was the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Was indeed animated Boba Fett.
Animated by the same dude that did Aeon Flux.
Really?
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah, Chung, I believe.
I need to rewatch the original Aeon.
Pretty sure. If only there were a series of tubes.
There's no way.
Said. No.
So we watched those, and, you know, like, the original good ones are good. Let's see if but you know, the prequels are continuing to not be good. I was surprised by how little.
Yeah, weird how that works.
In Revenge of the Sith, I was surprised at how little they have Natalie Portman doing. And she's like the only real woman role, and she literally is just in a room waiting for people to come and give her updates. And she doesn't interact with anything. And it's it's one of those things. I know we often will watch older movies and we'll be like, oh my God, there's this weird sexism or racism or different things. And like even things that aren't that old, even things that are only like 10, 20 years old are still, you know, have these weird, I don't know what it is, old dudes writing them, I guess, and directing them.
Yeah. God damn it, dudes.
Oh yeah, so I watched those. That was the weekend. What the heck else have I been up to? You know, I've been a bit obsessed with old films lately.
Yes.
Oh.
Just because I tried this wacky zany thing called Turkish Star Trek.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
You know, a live dubbing, which I had wanted to do for years, thought it might be impossible, but I got like the perfect mixture of people who
I think you got a pretty good batch.
And so it was a trial run of this concept just for people who – some of you weren't there maybe. If you weren't there
– I was there.
Yay. What we did was we took I guess what could be considered a Turkish fan film, Turkish Star Trek.
basically.
What they did was in Turkey in 1973, they decided, hey, we should make a Star Trek movie. And they took the plots of 3 to 5 different episodes and then mixed them together with a local comedian – Omer the Tourist to come in and do goofy things. And so, like I said, what I did was I my plan was, hey, I will translate from Turkish and try to figure it out. I ran into many little problems here and there because there's Turkish phrases and things that just didn't quite make sense. So for that stuff, I would sometimes just have to write something. And then if I was kind of like, well, if I'm making it up anyway, maybe it could just be a little funny.
Right.
And then when I got together with the group, most everyone was able to rehearse a couple times, and then they added things. They're like, you know what, let's just keep add things and make it more funny. So now I've been looking at what to do for another one. And I'm saving Turkish Avengers for spring when the new Avengers movie comes out.
Nice. Because
I think it'll be on everyone's mind. Turkish Avengers has Spider-Man as the bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that whiny little shit. I'm super excited.
It's fundamentally, they did not really understand the characters, but they liked the costumes and they wanted to do an Avengers movie. So they went for it.
Oh, that's fun.
But I want to do something different between now and then. I was looking at different movies that are public domain, and I was looking at like silent films because I was just kind of like, you know, well, why can't we add the dialogue to silent films? And I found a film that I still can't decide if it'll work. But it has all this kind of background about it that fit perfectly with my theme of a show. It is Phantom of the Opera, 1925 version.
Yes.
Now, it's a silent film, 1925. They released it. It did well. But this is right when talkies were starting to get popular. And so what they did was they decided, let's record some dialogue for it and re-release it. So they basically did with the kind of thing that I do, but they did for the movie a couple years later. But the main actor who played the Phantom had died, and a couple other people they couldn't find, so they just recast half the people and had different people doing the voices.
Okay.
And then they actually filmed additional footage because they wanted to add jokes. They thought they would add things that are funny.
Oh my God.
That version was released and did really badly. So then they cut a bunch of the comedy stuff, and then they released again with audios, and it did really well for the time. It made $1 million, which at the time was
long. $1 million.
$1 million. And so, but this version has been lost. The actual dubbed version that was the most popular version doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of like, this fits perfectly with, like, we could bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
We'll make $1 million.
We'll make $1 million.
$1 million.
Plus, it's copyright free, so I could record it and put it on YouTube.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And I won't have to pay to play it. And it's just like I said. It's conceptually they kind of did the thing that I'm doing, right? Where they made an audio, but it's lost, and so now it needs to be brought back.
Yeah, that's always so weird for me. These things that you think of now as being, you know, pretty permanent.
Well, that's your thing, too, about this movie, 1925, and actually all the original filmed versions of it are also lost. They only have these weird things that were called tinted copies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, what are tinted copies for? Do we know?
Like, if I'm remembering correctly, they would have, I think originally it was different types of film that they would use, but that there was like an emotional tinting that they would just wash the entire scene in. I may be wrong, but that's what memory is bringing
sounds
up.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I found these tinted versions because they're the only ones that are of any quality, but they're these really weird colors. So I ran them through a little image processing thing I have to just like make it black and white again.
Sure.
And then I turned up the sharpening and I actually got what I think is like the best picture that I've seen anywhere. and so I actually have a good copy of it too. Plus there's all these really weird creepy things about it. Like he's a Phantom of the Opera and he's just like basically stalking a woman. And it's...
Yeah.
Right. I mean...
Yeah.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
And welcome to the movie, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, and there's these huge elaborate scenes. I mean, he's like chewing up the scenery in these scenes. At one point, he's on top of this statue with this huge cape blowing, and the lines...
Well, tiny biplanes.
Tiny
circle.
That'd be awesome. But he's just saying lines like, you know, like, you all rule the day and you'll find out. And it's just like, it's so cheesy. But I want to hold some of the original super cheesy dialogue. But also, I feel like it should be ripe for commentary about, like,
sure.
How, I don't know, guys suck dating? I don't know. Like, there's so much stuff that could be added.
Oh, my God. I could go on for hours about that.
You should.
I'm in.
Yeah. I mean,
let's do this.
She has had a date.
So many.
Like that.
So many dates like that. What? Oh, my God. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we should hang out, watch it, and take notes, and put those notes together, and then we'll have a funny thing.
Yay!
Do like a funny thing?
Ooh, I like comedy.
Yeah.
I suppose we could tell our listeners that we do know you through various avenues, but one of those is Fearless Comedy Productions.
Yes.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Yes, David has lent his talent not only quite frequently at Fearless Lab, but also to several of our stage productions.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a hoot. What, how long ago was that we were in? What was it called?
Well, that was Nancy Megastad's. I can't remember what the collection was called, but
Single Life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Where we?
But she crossed out Life and she wrote Laugh. Nancy Megastad's The Single Laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
And since then I've done a lot of lab. I've been doing a lot of kind of just goofy stand up.
Yeah.
Like, I did stand-up as Godzilla, just talking about,
nice.
You know,
talking about Japan.
I did enjoy your stand-up set as Thor.
Oh, yay!
That one was good. I also, you are on record as having one of my favorite stand-up lines.
Ooh!
Almost any set I've seen. Especially those that I've seen in person, but definitely still in my top 10 for stand-up sets of all time, which was something like regarding MRAs being really mad at women for what they view as being injustice toward them. It was something like, if you jump in the lake, don't be mad at the water if you get wet.
Yeah, it was something like
really,
that. Yeah, yeah. To give
deeply funny.
Give the listeners a little basis of what this is. Yeah, I talk about like pickup artists and men's rights activists, and I talk about how all of the things that they do are basically just trying to say how they're the victim of women, right? And it's like victim blaming in the extreme,
right.
And they're very it's comical because they write these pickup artist books and they sell them to each other and they buy them. And then they
like these super exploitative things.
Very much so. But then they're also extremely unsuccessful at it, right? And so they create their own language. They have involuntary celibate is what they will call, right? They'll be like, I'm involuntary celibate because ladies just don't know a nice guy. right? Oh. I know.
Oh God.
And it's like, and they want
Thanksgiving three all over.
No, I think this is worse.
And then some of them call themselves voluntary celibates, right. And their attitude is
they're
like...
They're stealing our essences.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna... Then they win, yeah. If you date them, then they win. I will not do that. And it's like, you do it if you don't...
Dr. Strangelove.
And again, like, yeah, then it's like if you jump into a lake and you drown, it's not the water's fault that you can't swim. You're the one who can't swim. Read a book on
That's
swimming.
What it was. Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But like the term beta cuck, right? They're creating this whole language.
Oh, right? God, yeah.
And the purpose of creating the language is to, in cultural studies, it's known as hailing, right? So if you're walking down the street and someone shouts, "Hey, asshole," if you look, that's basically you just proclaiming you're an asshole, right? You're I identify as that. Yes, I am. What can my asshole people do for you, citizen?
Sure.
And so, yeah.
I love the idea of asshole people.
Asshole people. My people.
As if it's a, grand nation.
Right.
It is a grand nation.
Well, I mean, at the very least, it's a majority in key states.
That hurt.
Oh, speaking of which,
it's still hurting, actually. It's still, the knife is still in there.
Oh, I meant just you saying it and repeating it hurts.
No, I know.
It also hurt at the time, and it continues to hurt.
So I spent Thanksgiving in Wisconsin, so speaking of states
that sounds exciting.
Everyone is basically just lamenting how terrible the state is and how you just crossed that little border and you know you're...
I mean, the thing is, like, Wisconsin is one of my favorite places. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was Hudson, which is a pretty town.
It's beautiful, and they have things that I enjoy. Spring Green, Wisconsin, they have the House on the Rock. Which
that's wonderful.
I still have, as of yet, to go there.
I
know I need to, and I haven't gotten there yet.
When you go, also visit the Frank Lloyd Wright House that's right near there.
Yes,
there's a couple of things to see, but I do highly recommend it.
But
I'll have to take a field trip.
No, it's it's a beautiful place. With questionable people sometimes. No, the thing is, I know people in Wisconsin and I love them dearly. Oh God. Whoa. All right, that's a rabbit hole.
Well, you cross the border and it's funny because they vote differently. They vote very, very, just a bit more right, but also
culture.
Their government doesn't work at all. Shocker. Really? Mm-hmm. You vote in people who want government to not work, who say government doesn't work, and they get voted in office and then it suddenly doesn't work. Whereas in Minnesota, it's like, we're booming, the economy's doing great, we're building all over the place, all kinds of stuff are happening.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, I know. I might go to Wisconsin during the Super Bowl.
I mean, there is that. That is legitimate.
I'm going to hide in my apartment.
Yeah, I think I'm outside the
splash
zone.
I have a few friends that live in the area, and I'm just going to invite everybody to come over and just hide in my apartment for the week.
I'm mixed because a part of me kind of wants to see the spectacle and kind of be here for it to kind of just know what it was. But the other part of me hates that other part of me and does not want – I'm self-hating.
Do you know what I'm actually going to do during the Super Bowl?
I'm going to bed.
I mean that. No, I am going to go out. I'm going to go out to places that I don't think that other people are going to get to.
Counter-programming.
Like, there's a nice little stretch along 38th that I don't see any of the Super Bowl people going there. I'm going to go to, like, Gigi's Cafe, where nobody even knows what the fuck I'm talking about, let alone where it's at. See if there's people there. I want to see if, like, the inverse at, like, it just gets super massively popular and crowded in certain areas and then, like, ghost town in others.
Otherwise, all the locals may get displaced and get pushed out to the perimeter. So
it's possible. If as many people come in and they're saying it, it's going to be madness.
I want to go through and see. I want to see what's 50th in France going to be like during that time period. It's not anywhere close to... the inner city happenings. It's not over by like the Mall of Gomorrah or anything like that. Oh, have you not heard me call it that?
No,
the Mall of Gomorrah.
But that's
accurate.
They should rebrand.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I want to see if those places still exist during the Super Bowl, if there's people there at all. I want to see if I can find the places no one else has left.
Shit. I just realized that there's just going to be like a burning path between the stadium and all of these high-profile high-profile tourist attractions.
Yep. Don't take the light rail.
You won't be allowed to.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I thought they had like extra ones that were going to be running though.
Buses.
Like,
that's not an MTA thing. The Minnesota Transit Authority did not make that choice. That was purely like a state
Council,
government.
Right?
Yep. So that's it. For you know, for people who aren't local, this means nothing necessarily, but effectively our train is Super Bowl ticket holders only.
Only.
Our train system for however long.
Now, keep in mind that there's thousands of, like, retail and service people who will be working at the Super Bowl who now can't get transportation from where they
live to their job. Sure.
Do people realize there should be a strike? Everyone should just refuse and it's like, okay, have a good Super Bowl with no one there to give you your food or take out the garbage,
right?
Do anything, right?
What I will say is that for the people who are local who are working the events, plural, this is going to be huge for them.
Yeah, big money.
It's going to be a ton of work, but it's also going to be a lot of money for people who very desperately need it. So
there's going to be money coming in, and I really can't complain about that.
Yeah.
I especially can't complain about that since I can work from home and don't need to do any of it. Cool. You do you. Hey, you guys, should we maybe like take a break?
Yeah, let's do that thing.
Sure.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back.
We sure are.
Hello.
No, I didn't get any of that before part. Are you going to say your name?
Yeah, I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And I'm David.
Yay! Why are we all Muppets when David's here?
I mean, I'm a Muppet most of the time anyway.
All right. Hey, we didn't even talk about what we were going to talk about because we were so busy talking about all of the things that we'd talked about previously, possibly not being things that we'd talked about previously.
Yeah.
I will fill the audience in on that shit. So, we finished our last segment, and I went to go hit save, and I hit the save, and it came up with a little, what do you want to name it as? And I went to name it, and then it said, fuck you. Like, in big, giant words, there's a pixelated middle finger and everything. It was really impressive. I know.
Wow.
So we just spent, like, about a half an hour trying to make sure that the earlier 45 minutes that we recorded didn't
for
just
you
disappear.
Listeners.
Yeah.
For you.
By you mean mostly I was working on it, mostly.
Yeah, David was all up in that, yo. He was like, I am
the
whitest dude here. I am going to make this happen. That is exactly what. No, I spent a lot of time. James spent a little time. We both went, well, we're fucked.
Yep.
And then magic pixie dust, and we did not lose it. So, yay!
Just long enough that the computer got bored.
Right.
Yeah.
You're done trifling with your own.
Luckily, I have a lazy-ass laptop, so yeah. Anyway, so that's why I am ill-prepared as we come back into this section, is I'm done. Like, I've spent all of my spendings.
Yeah.
She's spent.
Spoonless.
I'm spent. Oh, we also fixed our drinks, kind of. Or
yeah.
Have you tried it again?
I have.
Yet?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. It's weirdly, with something mixed in, it's almost stronger.
I think you're crazy. It is definitely smoother than it was earlier. I think you're crazy.
The tail end is, but for some reason it tastes stronger at the front.
Yeah, was the mixer furniture varnish? No.
No, the mixer was Canadian Dry.
I mean, it's definitely a drink.
Yeah. I'm finishing it. You know, okay, so when I was a little kid.
Right.
Bridgman's.
You drink like this? Well, Bridgman's.
Honey, I grew up at a Ren Fair and doing sci-fi conventions. Like, there was booze plenty to be found.
She was the canary, basically.
Right. No, so when I was like 13, this is before we understood that I had dairy issues. We went to Bridgman's for ice cream. And I was like, I want to do the Lollapalooza. Listeners, the Lollapalooza is, or at least was, I don't know if they still do it or if they still exist even, but it was 8 giant scoops of ice cream, like extra, like fucking softball size scoops of ice cream with pretty much all of the toppings on top of this thing. Just this massive giant sundae of fucking, like, and the challenge was to eat the entire sundae. And if you did, the sundae being the Lollapalooza.
Right.
If you finished the Lollapalooza, you would get a button that said, I finished a Lollapalooza. yay! At 13, I wanted that thing. I wanted that thing so bad. So we went to Bridgman's, and I ordered the Lollapalooza, and my mom looked at me. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to get my button. And about two-thirds of the way through... It was less ice cream and more soup.
Right.
With, like, pineapple. I don't even like pineapple and, like, other things floating in it. I did it. I finished the damn thing.
Wow.
I got my fucking button. Like, throughout the process, my mom was like, I'll just find you one at, like, a garage sale or something. Like,
Where is that button now?
I have no idea. Pretty sure it's just disappeared into the nothingness.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll go get one at a garage sale. But I earned that motherfucker.
Yeah,
it's not fair. About the button. It's about earning
memories.
It.
Memories.
Yeah. Don't.
Farting memories.
My stomach was so upset afterwards. And, like, of course it's going to be upset. I just ate a bunch of ice cream, only we didn't realize that I had, like, casein issues at that point.
Yeah.
So I was fucking myself over twice. So I should have gotten 2 buttons, is kind of my point, that I could have then lost 5 years
I finished
later.
The Lollapalooza, and the Lollapalooza finished me.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't remember why I was telling that story. Do you guys remember?
Something about the drink.
Victories.
You said you were going to finish this drink.
Oh. I'm going to finish this goddamn drink, and I'm going to get my Drink-a-Palooza button. And oddly enough, it's starting to turn into soup, and there's a little chunk of pineapple at the bottom. I don't even know how that happened. I may have to work. No.
Well, at least you brought the button, though, right?
I can drive you over.
In 2 hours? Oh, God. Huh. That's the worst idea.
It'd be entertaining.
Nothing good can come of this.
Drive you over, and then I'll pick you up in the morning before I go to... Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
No.
Well, then you can just walk back. It's not.
I am actually. One of the things that I'm very excited about with my new living situation is being walking/biking distance from work.
Well, there you go. See? Yeah. Problem solved. Can you just show the students a video? That's what some people do in their jobs.
No. Well, that would be good.
That would be lovely. How many students do you have at a
substitute
overnight?
Teacher?
We
already watched Dumb and Dumber. Well, you didn't take notes.
Yeah. Bill used to have a joke about how he went in for new hire training, right?
Right.
And new hire training, like the first day, is always just like the guy comes in and he pops in a video about, like, don't be racist or...
Right.
Don't grab tits or don't be racist while grabbing tits. Like, they really frown on the double whammy. But that was his thing. Like,
what? The double whammy?
The double whammy. Racist and sexist? Yeah. Yeah, double whammy. Yeah, you got it. It's cool. Anyway. So this guy puts in this video about, like, safety in the workplace. And, like, there's a guy, like, he's climbing up a ladder, and then he falls into a stack of light bulbs. And he's like, I guess, lesson learned, don't stack up your light bulbs next to your ladders or something.
Right.
Like, and all these other things. There's one scene where the guy's mowing, and then his foot gets caught under the lawnmower. And he's like, I just thought this was going to be a lot of mostly, like, talk and type. Not really a lot of lawn care involved in my customer service position. Like, things like that. And then he would pause in his storytelling and say, like, Now, here's the thing. I'm a nerd. Like, when you're a nerd, you know. It's ever-present. You always just know that you're a nerd. But sometimes there are moments that just jump out at you. And you're like, holy shit, I'm a nerd. It's like, so the next safety scene was a guy. And he, like, goes into, like, this warehouse area. And, like, another guy goes into this room. And then the guy outside of the room pushes a button. And, like, the two sides of this room start to close in on him. Well, and, like, the guy's like, hey, I'm in here. I'm in here. Let me out. I'm in here. As he's, well, yeah. And he's like, and then I shouted out loud into a room full of grown-ups and professionals, R2, shut down all trash compactors in the detention level. Yeah. Yep. And he'd be like, I think I'm going to be the cool kid in the office. I think they're going to call me the Fonz, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yep.
Just hit the printer and, hey, it'll start working. Yeah.
Or blow toner everywhere.
Probably. Yeah.
So I've seen probably pictures of, like, just like a toner sprayed across a floor and then, like, retreating footsteps.
Yes. Like,
someone beat a hasty retreat out of there.
Yes. See, I just started drawing things. Like, oh, yeah. I'd be like, fuck it, it's painting time.
Yeah, we went to go get our copies and there was a mandala on the
yes.
floor.
Oh my god, yes, I would totally do that.
Yeah, the toner mandala, yeah.
Yeah, call it therapy. It's mindfulness exercises.
One of my favorite stories that I share with Charles, I'll put a bookmark in it and come back to it.
Okay, why?
Oh,
we didn't.
I thought you had more.
No, not particularly. Okay. I mean, I do feel as Bill's still living ex-wife, I'm still entitled to half of his things. So every once in a while, I just tell his jokes.
That's fair. Yeah.
Sure. Like, yeah. I don't know who else would be more entitled to his jokes. Possibly,
you're his archivist.
Possibly his best friend, but honestly,
wouldn't that also
doesn't really
be
fit
you?
His style. I was one of his best friends, but I was not what I would call the best friend. I was not like the dude best friend. I was comedy partner, ex-wife, lover, etc., whatever, but I was not the dude best friend. Like, there is a very special place.
There is. In Dude Holla.
But still, you had multiple roles, and they had just Dude Holla, so...
I mean...
You had.
One of them was a dude best friend and roommate and comedy partner. So, like, I wasn't the only one with multiple roles. The only one that ever did is fucking taxes, aside from his mom.
That is low.
So I feel like...
And you do get half, because you
should
add the numbers.
Yeah.
You're in charge of the numbers.
Oh, my God. Have you ever tried to do a stand-up taxes? Shit, dude. Don't. Especially, like, he
did
had...
Did count as tips?
He had gigs in Canada. International taxes. Fuck you guys. Like, I love you all in Canadia land. But Jim. Thunder Bay can go fuck itself. Anyway.
Yeah. Sean Pitre.
Yeah, Sean Pitre.
No, Charles was reading me this thing, and I don't know from where, but he was reading this thing about someone who drank an entire pot of coffee at the beginning of his shift.
I do that most shifts.
And was not used to drinking an entire pot of coffee.
Okay.
So did like the toner explosion, but with diarrhea?
Right. He was talking about being on the phone with somebody and then, like, standing up for a moment to stretch and feeling something drop internally.
Oh, God.
Just like a plunk.
Wow.
And he went, okay, well, you try that, and I'm going to call you back. I'm going to give you a chance to work on that, and I've got some very important, okay, bye. And then, like, made the, like, rapid penguin walk over to the close bathroom, and all of the stalls were occupied. Fuck. No, like, I don't know. I don't know how long this is going to take. I can't wait for this. So then he's, like, speed walking with his butt clenched all the way over to the other
with all the
end
might
of the floor.
That you can clench in
right.
A butt.
Right.
I would have waited for it, honestly, at that
and,
point.
And,
or I would have called out. I would have been like, dudes, I got to shit
get
now.
Get the fuck off,
like,
Facebook.
Seriously, one of you is done. Just let me in.
You can wait to wipe. Trust me. So, V, just go in the sink. But no, he bustled all the way over to the other corner of the floor. And then, again, like constipated penguin walk, and but the opposite of that. And got in there, and one of the stalls was open. Everything was fine. He went to execute the maneuver where you like turn and pants come down and everything like that. And slipped
as he turned.
His arm went wham straight into the toilet. And his pants were down around his knees. So he slipped and fell. An arm went into the toilet and he was in intense pain. And just like...
like a lawn sprinkler.
Right.
Just.
Oh, son of a bitch.
And then he heard a scream from the other side.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Wait, did it sound like, or what?
Well, they call new tones.
Yeah, and then, this thing that he's telling me, he's talking about, he's reading this thing, and he's like, yeah, the end of this is that the guy was too scared to leave the stall.
Oh God!
For like, cause his butt was poking under the stall door and everything. He just heard like, quick hand wash and then leaving. And when he went to check the other stall, it was like a spray paint mural just across with like the shadow, the silhouette of legs,
and
feet.
Oh God!
Against the wall. So he's like,
God.
I may have hosed somebody. I may have given somebody spin art. So
I mean, as much of a bad day as that was for him, for your friend, the person next to him, was it worse?
Charles, like, imagine that other dude's experience. Imagine that other dude's experience. It's all of a sudden a butt just pokes out of the stall and just erupts.
And like, every time they go to the bathroom from then on, they're like, okay, what's the joke? Hello, funny, hilarious diarrhea waiter.
And like, Charles was saying, like, I just would have taken my foot and just pushed on the butt. Just, like, pushed it. I was like, yeah, but then it's going to be, like, one of those... Like, one of the
like
the
when you hit the top
fireworks.
Of the hose,
right?
And it just kind of like goes everywhere sideways.
One of those fireworks that spins, so it's just
right.
like,
yeah,
but poop everywhere.
Yeah, just like when they let go of the fire hose, and it's just you know.
Yep. Man. So, yeah. So he and I had an in-depth conversation about the logistics and physics involved.
I think it was Andrea who told me that everyone either has a really gross diarrhea story, or they're gonna have one soon.
I have my child's really gross diarrhea story. I've got a couple of them. Anyway,
she's getting old enough.
Well, okay. So, story number one.
Sure.
When my daughter was like 1.5.
Yeah.
I was back to college. Mm-hmm. My little brother was helping babysit her at the time. And we lived in the same house. It was like us and like 5 other college students, like all living in this house while I was on welfare because it was all I could afford and they were amazing people. Huh. So I would help get her ready in the morning. And then my ride would show up and I would go to school.
Sure.
And then come back in the afternoon when I was done. And yeah. So my brother was there for the handoff, obviously. So I had gotten Jessa up. I had gotten her some food. She, as my brother and I are just sitting there, like I'm ready to go out the door as soon as my mm-hmm. ride shows up, she, in her high chair, managed to diarrhea more than her body weight.
Wow. Guinness Book World Records.
Out the diaper from all possible sides. Covered all the way up her back, down her legs.
No.
The entire high chair was covered.
No.
And then my ride showed up and I was like, well, Steve, I gotta go. Have fun with this. And I left. I was like, I feel bad. I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be to school on time. They actually docked me points if I was tardy.
Oh,
so,
fair.
Yeah. Earning your pay this day. There's that one. A few years later.
Oh, yeah.
I wake up to my roommates who were directly underneath Jess's room at this point, and I was my bed was kind of farther off to the side. My roommates are like, "Jen, your kid," and I'm like, "Okay." And then I hear it, like they're loud enough to wake me up, but once I'm up, I hear my my kid just like screaming in agony. I'm like, "Jesus fuck." So I'm like, "Okay, oh God, oh God, oh God." And like, I'm talking to her. I'm like, she's like, "Well," I'm like, "What's up?" She's like, "It's so bad, it's really bad." And I'm like, "Shit, she's got like appendicitis or something."
Right.
Like, she is death curdling, so just awful. I think Matt was one of my roommates at the time, actually. Yeah. And just,
may he rest in peace.
Right. So, yeah, just these chilling sounds that you never want to hear coming out of your child in pain. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. So, like, I called my baby daddy, and I'm like, baby daddy, and I didn't have a car at the time, so I think one of my roommates drove us to the hospital. I call my baby daddy, and I'm like, this is what's going on. I don't even know. Like, we're going to the emergency room. So we get into the emergency room, and, like, we're there checking in, and she's just screaming. It was a pretty dead night in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Which is what you always want to see when you're entering for, like, multitude of reasons.
Right.
But also for selfish ones. And so she goes, "I need to go to the bathroom." And I'm like, okay. Like, I talked to the nurses, and we figured out, we're going to, she had to poop.
Well,
that was it.
Yep.
After she did that, everything was fine.
Yeah.
That child took the most expensive shit ever. Because at that point, I had signed in.
Oh.
So we had to pay for this visit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most expensive shit ever. That was also
seriously.
Well, she's worth it.
That was $250 down the drain. Is what that was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very literally down the toilet.
Down. Yep. Exactly my point. Thank you.
Well, I mean, on the plus side, she's doing you proud in comedy now.
Yeah, so right?
Huh.
Oh, God. She hates it when I tell those stories, too.
Well,
take that. That's what you get for being better at me than Bill, you little shit.
I think the closest thing I have to one of these stories, so which means probably that the real one hasn't happened. But it was at Renfest.
Oh God, I'm sorry already.
There has to be so many people who have had emergency diarrhea at Renfest.
Yeah,
right? And it has to be a very common thing. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably something.
Sure,
it was probably something you ate at the Renaissance Festival. Yes,
I mean entirely possible.
I mean,
and it, just to go through that crowd, like even if you're not in a hurry, you need to get through the crowd.
Yeah,
right.
But then if you're like emergency, it's like but it wasn't that bad. Like I went to all the stalls, and just waiting to get in there. The main problem happened after, because it was relatively smooth going. But afterward, because I was in such a rush, I hadn't looked to see if there was toilet paper, which at Renfest, there were now.
Oh no!
If there's a time that you most want toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
So what I did was, I don't know how I got it in my mind. I think maybe I was a little lightheaded, a little tipsy, maybe. But for some reason, I thought to myself, I was able to get like a little tiny bit of toilet paper, and then there's that sanitary gel. And for some reason, I thought to myself, if I just load up a ton of the sanitary gel on this one little piece of toilet paper, that will equal more toilet paper, right? For like 3 seconds, it was a brilliant idea. For 3 seconds, I was like, why doesn't everybody do this? This is glamorous.
Oh.
This is luxurious. 3 seconds, and then it was like,
and then,
my butt is on fire. This is alcohol. For people who don't know,
right?
Like that sanitary gel, they smuggled in prisons to get drunk because it has such a high alcohol content.
Right.
And so at that point, like it's burning so much, and there's no toilet paper, and you're like, I would go for anything. If there's like a turkey drumstick in here, I would use a turkey drumstick, like anything that I got.
Right.
So I did what many people have probably done, which is like these underwear are no longer in use. These will be done.
I mean,
I have done that.
Yeah.
I will say, being a lady at the Renaissance Festival and once a month needing to use those particular facilities for for bleeding, for menstruation. I've told you all about my colposcopy
uterus
at this point. I'm not even going to pretend like I'm dainty and shit.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I have been a menstruating woman in a wide variety of places, and the Ren Fair is
wide.
Wow, Hank. Accurate.
Primitive place. Primitive time.
But it is. Like, you don't... There's no fancy, like, tampon disposers around the corner or anything like that. There's no... And, yeah, number one, especially as a chick, you just always look for toilet paper. Like, that's just number one, and you figure that shit out later. But, yeah, number two, the hand sanitizer stuff. I have used that to clean up messes before.
Yeah.
And you learn exactly where those areas are that you can use that, and the ones that you cannot use that. Yeah, I'm going to say vagina stings more than butthole. I'm going to go ahead and make that call.
Wow. I'm open to that argument because I don't know. I have no way to verify.
The butthole has different jobs. The butthole, its job is to get rid of stuff. The vagina is the gateway to an entire ecosystem of, like, it's the guardian of the petri dish.
Yeah,
of
if a pregnant woman is scuba diving, she's a submarine.
Jesus Christ.
That's, you know,
that's
actually,
so dumb.
After this happened to me, and I was telling some friends, they told me a story about they're camping, and the guy grabbed some of the hand sanitizer, and he thought it was lube.
No!
Oh, God!
No.
Yeah. Oh, God!
After
oh, God! My everything. I don't even have a dick, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Well, they were having sex, and
no.
she was like, is this the warming kind?
No.
And he's like,
I mean, it
well,
is
no. And, it's, and they ran into a lake. Fortunately, it's Minnesota, so we have lots of lakes.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I thought it was lube. So.
Oh, my God.
In Japan.
Worst of all worlds.
I know. This is already starting poorly. Go ahead.
In Japan.
Yeah.
I'm walking right? around with my host and everything like that, and I get handed a series of small tissue packets, you know, like the disposable Kleenex-style tissue packets. And my hosts are like, oh, hang on to those. Hang on to those. Hang on to those. Hang on to those. And then I get up to go use the restroom at a train station. My host was like, do you have your tissue packets with you?
Oh.
I go in there. Not all, many bathrooms do.
Okay.
But especially bathrooms that are the more traditional sort of lazy urinal style. Where like it looks like a urinal having a nap.
Often with footmarks on either side.
Right. Precisely, which is a complex thing all on its own. There's a science to having your pants low enough, but not
too low.
Okay. So that's one of the things that tissue packets are super good for.
Nice.
Yeah, and much of my travels, like in China, for example, they'll all be like that, and they won't have tissue, and like try doing it in a really bumpy train. There's no handrails.
Oh my God.
They just think you're going to be able to balance. And it's like, I already don't fit anything in China, you know? India was similar. Egypt was similar, but you could pay a little extra to sit down.
That made like some of the other like more executive toilets really lavish. Really amazing. I remember my...
Like the heated seat and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
I want a heated seat so bad. You
there's a restaurant
know.
Here that has...
What? What?
There's, I think it's a Thai food restaurant. I should Google it. That has one of these luxurious... like
I will go there
else.
Just for the fucking toilet.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
Honestly,
I'll order
it should
food.
Be law that they have
I don't
them
need
in
to eat it.
At,
they don't even need
Taco
to
Bell.
Give it to me. I will just order food so I can use their bathroom.
I'll find out what place it is.
Okay, find out.
Yeah, in Russia, I remember the difference in toilets there is also a really big deal. Because they have a different mechanism entirely. It's you poop into a little shelf thing in the toilet, and then a gush of water pushes it up over a lip into the flushing. And it's there's a thing. One thing you're not subject as much to Poseidon's kiss. The splashback.
Sure. Yeah.
But then it's also like that it's just not what I'm used to. So there's that. And then I remember my Russian teacher being really excited about a place with American toilets. He was talking to somebody about it and he was saying, well, you have to go use the toilet. And my Russian instructor was like, what's great about the toilet? He's like, it's an American toilet. And he goes, you mean? And he goes, yes. Yes, it was a splash and not a plop. And that's how you know, I guess, is the thing. Yeah.
What if they use less water or what the...
Maybe.
reason for the differences.
I remember this. This is a sidetrack a little bit, but a Wiccan friend of mine, super witchy, super pagan, used to have, and also a roommate of mine at the time, had a very specific spell on the wall of our bathroom, which was a spell for ridding yourself of negative energy. And it was essentially the process of shitting.
It's a positive,
into the chalice.
Right.
Oh. You know, and you want to focus all of your negative thoughts and your negative energy towards your bottom, and then expel it all from your body into the chalice. And if you are lucky, you will get a chalice kiss. Like just all of this stuff. And it was very beautifully tongue in cheek witchy, and I loved it. I loved it so hard. I wish I could remember. It
never
was the,
more
just like
troubling than when you when that happens in a porta potty.
No.
God, that is
God.
That's when you just you're like, you know what? Life is done. That's,
yeah, I need to go burn my asshole
now.
I'm
just going
to
walk directly into the Mississippi River.
I'm going to use that hand sanitizer. Like, that's
worth it.
That's the time.
Yeah.
That is the time.
Yeah, yep. Oh no. So there's that. And no, if I run out of toilet paper in like a porto or something like that, I'll get MacGyver on it. I will deconstruct the paper
like the
too.
Roll.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was serious when I said if there was a turkey drumstick, I was burning enough.
See,
I would use it.
I remove the brown paper roll, and then I carefully split it into
sheets. Like there's a peely sheet thing that you can do.
Especially when it's a porta potty, because it's like you're not gonna make it the plumbing get backed up. So why not?
Right.
Go
exactly. And
Renfest is desperate times. Yeah.
It really
sometimes.
Is. It's third world.
Yeah, no. I have a friend who always, he's got one of those super enormous sporans you could fit an entire six pack of beer in.
It's not the size of the sporan that counts.
It's the fury of its onslaught. The, yes. But included in that, he keeps a small travel pack of wet wipes.
Because he's brilliant.
Yeah. It's incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Never be caught unawares.
See,
you guys.
Defense of my costume had no pockets. At
no, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you should look into that. We'll get. Yeah. I've got some spare pouches. I'll get you hooked up.
All right.
Yeah.
So, why don't we take a quick break?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right,
let's do this. I could stop it before you do the thing. But since Salsa's not here.
Do do do.
Hey. Do 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 do. Do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing. Y'all ready for this?
Yes. With your hosts, James,
Jenna,
and David. Yeah.
Yay!
Oh, lovely and talented.
And it is time for the outro.
What?
The outro.
Yeah.
Man, it sounds way cooler when you and I do this,
and
not when Salsa does it.
Well, that's because we're cooler.
I mean, that's fair. It's, you know, whatevs. So, hey.
Things happened.
You guys.
Yeah.
I've been sick for the past couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of some upset stomach stuff. Not as bad as like a friend of mine was sick and started describing his symptoms, and I was like, ah, shit.
Hmm.
But
not
it's
like
not...
butt poking under a stall sick.
No. Like he was talking about like 4 days of debilitating like everything, and I was like, I can't afford that.
No.
So I've been sick for the past couple of days. So I haven't been drinking coffee as much as I normally would.
Right. So what you're telling me is that the day sucks even a little more.
Seriously. Oh my God.
On top of being sick. No caffeine.
So I was getting caffeine headaches.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I felt that would be better than shit spraying the guy in the next stall. So like, you know, you weigh your pros and your cons.
Very much so, yeah.
But it turned out I didn't get to be nearly as sick as my friend had as my friend's experience.
Right.
As I feared. So this morning I had some coffee.
Ooh.
It was amazing.
What kind of coffee makes the best coffee coming back?
There's
kind of thing?
Only one kind of coffee that you can drink coming back from something like that. And that is, of course, True Stone coffee.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. I ground it like fresh this morning with the beans that I had received a week previous. And it was the Colombian, and I'm not a huge Colombian person in general, but they're Colombian. Like they don't do like the super dark, oh my God, roast of doom that a lot of other places do with the Colombian. It's more of a medium edge thing.
They don't roast the absolute shit out of it.
Right. They roast it to the point where it should be roasted and still allow for the actual flavor to come through. I
believe the scientific term is perfection.
Ooh, it is roasted to perfection.
Yes.
Correct, sir. So yeah. Freshly ground, and I could smell it, and like my entire body was like, why haven't you let me have this?
Yes.
It was like yelling at me, this is all we wanted. And oddly, I felt pretty darn good the rest of today.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird, right?
I ate a full thing of like what I call my chicken and rice soup casserole, which is just chicken and rice soup with more rice until it becomes a casserole. Like you actually cook the rice in the broth. And then, yeah, so there's no more broth. You have extra rice. It's one of my poor people recipes, but it's delicious and I love it.
Yeah.
I had an entire bowl of that. And, I of course had a box of mochi cause I'm fucking addicted to that shit. I'm really bad about that, but, it all started with, the best coffee.
Who makes the best coffee?
True Stone.
That's accurate. That is entirely accurate.
And if you would like some of the best coffee, listeners, you too can have some of that. You can go to truestonecoffee.com.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the promo code.
Apropos.
No, it's spelled apropos.
Fuck.
Ha! Take that. enter the promo code apropos for 10% off of your coffee. And or merchandise purchase. Anything that you get there, you get 10% off. And they do have some incredible merchandise on top of their incredible copy. So go check them out.
The t-shirt that I have from them is
probably
one of the best t-shirts I've ever owned.
They're so fucking soft.
Easily one of my favorite shirts.
Yeah.
Not only is it super, super comfortable, it looks swank as fuck.
It does look swank, but I don't really go for looks all day. She said wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and an old grandma sweater, but that I got from my grandma. I'm not even lying about
very
that.
Very literally grandma sweater.
My grandma sweater from my grandma.
Uh-huh. But imagine t-shirt and the grandma sweater and drinking from one of their tulip glasses.
I know. It would be the most comfortable thing ever.
Truly.
Oh, my God. So anyway, True Stone Coffee. Check them out. I personally am a huge fan of Sumatra and Tanzanian in general, but they somehow do theirs perfectly when they have them in season. So those are my recommendations. Go check them out. Also, we like those guys.
Yeah. Like the best people.
They really
the
are good
roast.
People. I like those
the
people.
The best beans.
Yeah.
Delivered fresh.
Yeah. Oh, and you get it like the next day. It's
correct.
Roasted. Like
it's name on
incredible.
The bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Fancy.
Yeah. Then you feel all special and shit. Yeah. So, hey, everybody, how about a fast five?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, how about not? Because Salsa didn't fucking send me a fast five.
No.
Fast five.
Not so fast.
To be fair, I forgot to ask him again. It's not really his fault per se.
Let's not be fair. Why be fair?
We're still willing to blame him.
Oh, I'll totally blame him. Are you kidding me? No, this is totally his fault.
So.
And not mine in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, we do not have a Fast Five for you today, but James has an cunning plan.
An cunning plan. Yes, from the Awful Confidence. There is a game called Fictionary, a game in which words are made up.
Stefan Senpai just wet himself.
But then again, all words are made up. Fact. All right. So, I will provide...
Like a living language?
Something like that.
Okay.
So, the idea is that I will provide you with a word which, to the best of our knowledge, does not exist in any language so far. And you will tell me what you think it means, and then I will tell you what it actually means.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'll pick
a favorite. Yeah, so you two are competing for my love.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All right.
Can I hug you again before we do this?
Yes.
I mean, if we're competing for your love.
Oh.
I'm cheating. Cheating, you guys. David can't hug him because he's on the other side of the bar.
He's pretty tall.
He is pretty tall.
So
he's also got those eyes and that stature and the Aryan hair.
He gets like the little bing whenever he smiles. Yeah,
it's true.
Bing.
Little not quite dimples, but still like the tension in the muscle that's like almost dimple. It's pretty good.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we treat our guests well.
So some examples of things. Lapeldag is a previous word. Lapeldag is the portion of a man's shirt collar or cuff which is immune to ironing and which is just permanently crinkled and doesn't obey any law of man or gravity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So, our first word today is Samkple. Samkple.
Can you spell that, please?
S-A-M-K-P-L-E. Samkple.
Sampkul. I believe, if I understand correctly, a sampkul is when you get just like a little freebie, but it's almost always pantyhose that are too big for you, like the knee-high pantyhose. So what'll happen is you get these freebie samples of knee-high pantyhose, and they just won't stay up, so they fall down around your ankle.
Gotcha.
And, you know, you get that elephant bunch around your ankles.
Yeah.
And I believe that is what a sampkul is.
It's
just a freebie that is not in the right set, usually
ill-fitting.
Too large.
Sure, yeah.
And it just, yeah. That's my understanding. I could be wrong. I'm probably not, but, you know.
Now, do I also?
Yes, yeah.
All right, well, I mean, actually, this is a real word that I actually do know.
Oh, of course.
So
yes,
you might have made a slight error here.
Oh, no, it's possible.
Samkul, obviously, it's a Lord of the Rings reference. It means Samwise capable. It means basically, like, if you need someone to share the load, you know, and you're like, oh, I need someone who really, like, is capable of carrying me over this volcano and just, like, I don't know, being really, I guess, kind of needy, kind of like a little...
Sure.
That's... Samkul, Samwise capable.
Samwise capable. I see where you're coming from, and I will say that the Samkul, the oversized freebie, is capable of carrying an awful lot.
It's true, you can
because
put
it
a
is
lot
oversized.
Into. Yeah.
But I don't think that has anything to do with Samwise. I think you're mistaken.
Well, I'm afraid you're both wrong.
Oh.
Because that's the way this works.
Okay.
No, I'm afraid Samkul. It's very close. But different, entirely different from what Jenna has suggested. No, it is the free thing which is designed to entice you into something much larger that costs you. So it's...
Oh.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You could spend $5 on a particular toaster that you would get for free, but you get it for free... by opening a particular type of account and buying checks for $20.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. The
to
thing
be fair,
on the
those
envelope,
checks were gorgeous.
I mean, they had toasters
and
on
them. And it had the matching return address stickers.
Sure, right.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a gateway toaster.
Right. But
Your gateway toaster.
Like the free gift that you get as part of a hosting someone's Tupperware party. If you have someone put on a Tupperware party in your living room, that they will often give you as the host, the owner of the house, and the person who gathered all of their friends together, they will give you a spatula or something.
And that's for doing all their work for them. You get a spatula. That's great.
These days, you guys, these days, it is not Tupperware. As a chick, I know these things. It's party lights.
Ah.
Where you have all of the candle things.
Sure.
Or Pampered Chef. If you still need your Tupperware, but they've got all the other, like, chopping gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
Which, frankly, the Pampered Chef, like, for those, like, the Tupperware things, they just had the Tupperware and, you know, whatever. The Pampered Chef stuff, those party hosts will come in and cook shit in your kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
So, highly recommend them.
Sure.
Thanksgiving wreath is delicious and is still one of my favorite recipes to this day.
Awesome.
And my sample there was, in fact, a set of measuring cups. So, color-coded.
Oh,
for ease of finding them.
Quite handy.
Right?
Quite handy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was, especially as a younger collegiate student, watching the infomercials. It's the call now free sample, or the call now. And if you call right now, not only will we double your order and give you two sticky buddies, we'll also give you the poster straightener.
You know,
like the spring-loaded poster straightener, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
That extra thing you couldn't possibly get.
Right. Any, your sticky buddies.
Anywhere else.
What is
a
sticky buddy, looking at the, speaking of terms?
There's a thing. I'll show you.
Do I not want to know?
When you're a little older.
It's hard to explain, but yeah, there'll be guidance.
It's everything the name implies. So, your next word is laicity. Laicity. L-A-I-S-I-T-Y.
Laicity.
Laicity.
I obviously know this one, but if you think you know it, please feel free to go first.
Well, I mean, so this is the thing. You are mistaken to say this is an actual word that I do know. This is a term that is in regard to city development. It is when a city gets to the point where most of the population are just like doing very relaxing things. Like some may say lazy, some would not, you know, but it's when it gets to that development where mostly it's amenities. It's mostly like stadiums and things like that, that seem like you're doing something, but let's face it, you're not really doing anything productive with your time.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
I understand how you could think that.
Yeah.
Of course, you are not correct in that definition. It's a very masculine way of looking at things. However,
certainly little lady.
However, laicity is a tool that you use to help lace up your corset and or bodice.
Ah.
It is something that, you know how like you'll get the edges of your ribbon or your whatever frayed?
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Instead of using the tape to make the tapered thing to stick through, because you want to keep it as accurate as possible, specifically at the Ren Faire.
I will use a
laicity, which is a tool that has like several kind of fingery things that you can then go through the eyelet to help grab the lacings and pull them through to get you to the next eyelet. So the laicity is incredibly handy. Also, it doubles as a tatting tool, so you can in fact make lace with it.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're both horribly incorect.
Oh.
You've
never used the laicity before.
No, I can honestly say it. I've laced many a corset, but I've never used the laicity.
All right. I'm making this now.
I like that. The actual definition of laicity is it comes from the Roman Catholic tradition originally, but is now valid in all churches. It is any difference in program or methodology which identifies people who belong to a different church. So people who read the Lord's Prayer just
a little bit
too
differently.
Far belong
right.
to a different – they're not Catholic. Yeah. Or the people who – you know, don't know how to take communion in your, or who have a different set of words for the Nicene Creed, that kind of,
so it's all laicity,
right? Yeah. It's a kind of, Yeah, it's a shibboleth, but it's a religious shibboleth.
I feel like we were discussing this earlier today.
Quite possibly, yeah.
A little bit with the taking of communion specifically.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. So it is to identify outsiders within your church. It's those subtle differences. All right.
So when they say, and like in my church, may the Lord be with you, the automatic response is, and also with you.
Yeah.
They don't do that in all churches.
No.
However, my favorite church, may the force be with you.
and also with you. Yes.
Yeah. That separates out entirely different kind of Jesus nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool kind. Yeah.
Yeah. The ones with the lightsabers, bitches. What?
Which explains the cross-shaped lightsaber in the most.
Finally, you get it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, it's like a Crusades thing. It's fine.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the Jesus saber.
So the pronunciation.
He is the light of the world.
Wow, the lightsaber of the world. Yeah.
Oh my
God. He is the lightsaber and the life saber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Hey.
So. Our next word, and you may differ on your pronunciation.
Okay, sure.
And feel free, by all means, to tell me, the origins of any of these words.
Oh, sure.
But our next word is jark, and it's J-A-R-K-H-E, jark.
Jark?
Oh, is it?
I believe it is, in fact, jark.
Okay. Jark.
The jarka is, of course, of a Scandinavian origin.
Sure.
Tracing back, I believe.
Scandinavian or Scandinavian?
Yeah. Yes, both.
Oh, gotcha.
Actually, tracing all the way back to the Vikings.
Ah.
This was a very specific device used for poking and prodding. After you had raped, pillaged, and burned.
Sure, like you do.
You needed an implement to poke at the burned remains to make sure that everything else, to make sure that you completed the job.
Yeah, that there's nothing else to rape, pillage, or
burn.
So
the jarke was used as a specific poking tool because you had on the one end, you had a little bit of iron. It wasn't meant to be stabby, just pokey. So you had the iron on the one end to make sure that when you were poking at things that you weren't actually destroying anything.
Sure.
You were just making sure that it had been destroyed.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, yes, that is the jarke.
I see.
I believe you might be mistaken. The jarke, it's actually a little known drink.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a mixture of Canada Dry, mixed with with blue Curacao.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm sorry. I don't know alcohol. And Parrot Bay coconut liquor.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. And
are there other items in there?
Oh, definitely. For the connoisseur, a little bit of Christian Brothers honey liqueur.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes.
It's only the finest quality of mixtures. It's rare to find. And a little bit of some extra smooth rum.
Smooth. Smooth with a V. Yeah.
And it needs to be made with a little bit of love, a little bit of tenderness, a little bit of grenadine.
Sure. Sure, I can see how that would be. Yeah. Those are synonymous. Yeah.
And you want to pour them in softly so that they create layers, a kind of sunset effect.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm afraid you're both mistaken. Completely mistaken, yes.
Although, I've got to say, I think your definition is by far my favorite right now, David. For anything ever,
it's gonna
really.
It's going to take the world by storm.
Yeah? Yeah. The
by
jerky?
Talisker storm?
God. There's no Talisker.
I'm afraid you're both mistaken. A jarka is a festive coat, which is worn like almost like a vest, but with little sleeves.
Cap sleeves.
Yeah, little cap sleeves. And this is the coat which is worn by young men and women in the village. And
sounds very similar to my Gothic Hobbit festival.
It is part of a festival of of meat tide. When one of the young people will smuggle loaves of meat, turkey loaves, beef meat loaf, you know, whatever it is, loaves of meat, and will scamper and cavort in the streets along with their fellow children. And the first adult to arrest this child, sort of grab this child and shake the meat out. Of this child by the jarka, grab them by the lapels of the jarka, and shake them until the meat falls out. Not only do they get to keep that meat, but then they are crowned Sheikh Lord of the Meat Festival as well. So
awesome.
The meat tied.
Nice. No, that makes sense.
So if I see some suspicious children, I should just try to vigorously shake the meat out of them?
If they're wearing a jarka.
Yeah, they
usually
have to be wearing a jarka.
Because from previous years, usually it will have dark meat-type stains, especially under
as
the
as if they had
arm.
Had to have wiped with a turkey drumstick.
Right.
Like a turkey leg. Yeah.
Yeah. Under the arms and around the waist.
Yeah.
It will usually have dark meat-like stains.
This sounds like if I shook the meat loose, it would be delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
James, I'm just curious, because you obviously know an awful lot about meat tide.
Sure.
What is your favorite meat tide traditional present?
It's the wrapped box of soup gloves. Just tied up you pour the soup into the glove, you tie the other end. It's almost like a water balloon full of home stuff
and
goodness.
And you keep it in your pockets and you can stick your hands in there and it keeps your hands
warm. Keeps your hands
warm.
And then when you're feeling a little bit peckish, you just nibble at one of the fingers and soup gushes into your mouth.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just sup upon the soup glove. Yeah.
Sounds fantastical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am kind of partial to the hair breadsticks.
Mm.
Because I love things that are both functional and fashionable.
Sure, sure.
The soup gloves are pretty fucking amazing.
These the breadsticks that you use to like put your hair up?
Yes.
Into
yeah.
And this is why we call it a bun.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And in fact, you can get the ones that have kind of the bun lay, so you can you can get the bun. Over a bunch of your hair and use one of the hair bread sticks to fasten it and secure it to your hair.
Yeah.
I think that's
fantastic. Yeah.
Then I'm partial to that, but again, fashion and function. Yes, I definitely agree with the soup gloves.
Hmm.
How about you, David? Meat tie.
What is your favorite part of meat tie? Yeah.
You know, I...
Well, I tally the scores.
Weird as it sounds, I like more the bread part of it, like Princess Leia cinnamon buns on either side, if you get those.
Oh, yeah, I know, those are fantastic. Mm-hmm. They keep your ears warm, too, so that's a good use of fashion.
Yeah, and after a good wearing, they're especially delicious.
Yes.
You don't eat your own that you would wear, because that'd be gross.
No,
you eat
too
your
familiar.
Friend.
Yeah.
Right. Which is the tradition of like nibbling somebody's earlobes around
the
holidays.
It's a strongly bonding experience, but it's not sexual
so.
In any
way.
It's just for the nutrients.
Yeah, exactly.
Purely meat based.
But it is still bonding. It is a closeness. It is a tie in togetherness. So, all right, James, are you ready?
I am, and I have to say that of everyone's different explanations.
Right,
Jenna, your definition of sampkpul was really, really close to the definition for jarka.
It was actually surprisingly close.
Yeah, and so I have to give you credit for your understanding of the English language.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
that. It's you are our winner, but of course many points to David as well. It took quite a while for me to tally the points.
Pretty fantastic.
They're both fierce competitors in Fictionary.
I didn't say it explicitly, but I'm wondering how many people got the Kankle reference.
Which Samwise had, so
he did. I feel like ours were very, very closely tied. Yeah, like one helped the other, I believe. I'm not sure in which direction or which way, but
Yeah, I learned of a new actual word. You guys want to guess what it means?
Sure.
Ooh, sure.
Satisficing.
Satisficing?
Satisficing.
So that's not like the act of satisfying someone.
Hmm. You're in the realm. Do you want to know or you want to go?
I believe it's a portmanteau of suffice and satisfy.
Ooh.
In that it is just exactly the right amount when too much of something would make it not satisfying.
Oh.
And not enough would make... Like,
that's
when somebody
really
scratches your back.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that perfect amount that takes care of the itch that
right.
you feel. But too much would either hurt or would make
or
it itch more.
Or just be, like, annoying. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's satisficing.
I would say it's very near that. It is to
okay.
do the minimum that you have to do
oh.
for whatever situation and not a tiny bit more.
Okay.
It's
oh,
the
wow.
very minimum of what wow. you need to do the thing.
So
not even a smidge more. You're satisficing.
Right. So, I'm in bed with someone, and they give me an orgasm, but
right.
I'm a chick and totally capable of multiples. So
yeah,
that would be satisficing.
I would say, well, that's the thing. It's like,
they did the bare
minimum.
They could at least
that's your bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got to change your minimums. Maybe you just got to be like,
it's a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah. Very similar.
For me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Gross. So,
ladies,
that is our game.
Yay!
Jenna, you are
that.
Our winner.
Yeah. Yay!
Thanks very much to David for his participation as well.
Oh my God!
You,
you were a fantastic and worthy competitor, sir. We are shaking hands now.
All right.
So, at this point of the show, does anybody have anything they need to plug?
I do.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Plug it.
There is a radio play being put on,
yes.
on stage, which doesn't sound fantastic as a concept, but it plays
but it
out
is.
Amazingly
yep.
well. Of A Christmas Carol, you know it, you love it, and the radio play version of it is exceedingly beautiful. And the stage presentation of that, these people know what they're doing, and for some reason have included me in on it. The show takes place on the 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Shit.
And it is...
Oh, God damn it. I'm going to be out of town that weekend.
That is okay. I will forgive you.
No! No, I'm angry now. Oh, I am so upset. I am... I mean, I'm not going to stop being out of town for
right.
that weekend, but I'm still going to be upset with myself for quite a while.
So, the performances will be at 7:30 Friday, December 15th, 7:30 on December 16th, and 2 p.m. on December 17th, which is my birthday. If you
Yay! Happy birthday!
Yeah. And that will be taking place at the Lakeville Center for the Arts.
Oh! Okay.
Yes. So.
It's a little down south, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as far out as Fiddler on the Roof was for Garrick. So,
no.
You know. Although that was delightful.
Or, you know, Trago, Wisconsin.
Right. For.
But they're wonderful.
For those guys.
Speaking of things that we love in Wisconsin.
Right. They're happening this weekend,
yeah.
right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Over in Trago, Wisconsin.
I feel like you know the most about that, James. Go.
Do I?
Oh.
In this collective, actually, it's possible David knows. One thing we didn't mention is that David is assistant marketing for Fearless Comedy Productions, so he should maybe actually know more about this
yeah.
than the rest of us.
Yes, I know all about it. But go ahead.
All right.
Let's see.
I don't want to be rude.
As he's still licking it up, this is delightful.
I believe it's Friday.
I'm going to pimp out all of my friends. I believe it is this Friday, actually.
I believe
is
so.
Is it Friday or Saturday? I think it's Friday.
I think it's Friday.
I'm sure it's Friday.
We're
about to find out.
No.
The bat time and the bat channel.
I don't know. Okay, while James is looking that
yes.
up, David, you have something that you wanted to pimp, yes?
Yes. coming up on December 11th, Monster Science Ensemble, Walk
what?
The Dinosaur. If you want to know all about dinosaurs, my great pal Natalie Wass has asked me to help her do some interpretive dance involving dinosaurs.
Yes.
And we'll keep the rest of the details. You know, you got to come
yeah.
see it. But I think like it's a great lineup of performers.
Yeah. At least one other performer is going to be fantastic. Her name might be Jenna Young. What? No, it is actually the entire lineup.
Yeah, look at that lineup.
Absolutely fantastic. Oh, Gregory Parks, yes. I haven't even looked yet. Oh my God, Timmy Arendt, Dan Washington, Bryant, Sharon Stitler. Oh, I want to hear what Sharon Stitler has to say about dinosaurs. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
an all-star lineup, I'm telling you.
That really fucking is. And then I'm there too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, December 11th at 7?
Question mark, audibly attached to the end?
Yes, 7. I'm right. I will get there on time. At Phoenix Theater.
Phoenix Theater, that is correct.
Yes.
That's going to be a great show.
The night before that, December 10th, you should go to Kieran's Irish Pub for the Encyclopedia show. I will be there performing something encyclopedia-ish.
But you're busy.
I really fucking am. Like, I'm suddenly incredibly busy. It's weird. So I will be there performing something having to do with the subject of the evening, the Holy Grail.
Oh, that's
right. I am so fucking excited for this because I just figured out tonight what it is that I'm doing, and it is going to be amazing. It is going to blow your fucking minds. It's going to be a religious experience. It'll be all right. So you should go to that. Show starts, I believe, at 7 p.m. at Kieran's Irish Pub, Sunday, December 10th. James, did you figure out the thing yet? Because I can still go.
I do not see a thing.
Check the Google Calendar. So,
okay.
While James is doing that, I will tell you about things that are happening this week that are not that. So, Thursday, I will be working the box office for Are What the Improv, which is, of course, a very favorite long-form show that we have through Fearless Comedy Productions, produced by Kyle Decker. And amazingly, he doesn't do as much punning in this, so it's a delightful experience, and I highly recommend it for everybody. This Friday, Can-Can Wonderland. I'm about to pimp the shit out of everything. Hold on. You're ready for this. At 7 p.m. at Can-Can Wonderland, you can find Gesture Comedy. It's an improv comedy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be, I think it's about an hour and a half of improv comedy. And it will be fucking amazing. There are several Fearless or Fearless adjacent individuals who are a part of this group. And it's fucking hilarious. I can't even, you guys, it's really good. Like, it's really fucking good. So, 7 p.m. Be to Can Can Wonderland by 7 p.m. for that, because I'll be there, because I need to drink a lot. Because at 9 p.m., there will be the retro game show.
Ooh.
Several different retro game things happening at Can Can Wonderland. Being produced not through Fearless, but I believe Tim Wick is the wrangler for that. At least he wrangled me into it. I will be a celebrity guest for Family Feud.
Makes sense.
At least the family part and the feuding part. I should bring Jess. Oh, she's not 21. God damn it.
Oh.
Anyway, but Family Feud is starting at 9. So Jester's Comedy at 7 p.m. Family Feud at 9 p.m. And you can participate. If you get there, I think that we are actually calling people up on a stage to participate for this. So
okay.
Get there, be ready. But then that's not all. Because at 11:30 p.m. that same night, Tipsy Kangaroo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Tipsy Kangaroo Puppet Review, Naughty Puppet Review. It is adult puppets. It is hilarious and wonderful. Several of my good friends are involved with this show, and it is everything that you have ever wanted from puppets of the hand mouse style. You are thinking of Muppets in your brain as I say this. That is what is visually coming to you. But no, Muppets is trademark. These are hand mouse puppets. And you want to see this. It is just good shit. So, this Friday, December the 1st?
Question mark?
Question mark? You've got the calendar.
Oh, no, I don't, but, so the next...
Don't go into the next thing until we verify the first thing.
The Mystery Lodge.
Wait, show. No, hold on to it.
Yeah.
Wait, is Mystery Lodge on Friday?
Yes.
What day of the month is that?
That is...
Jesus fuck! It's the same day! Like...
the first, yeah.
The first! Yay! We figured it out. We're good. Woo. So, yes. So, December 1st, you can spend your entire day at Can Can Wonderland, starting at 7 p.m. for jesters, 9 p.m. for Family Feud game show stuff, and then 11:30 for Tipsy Kangaroo, or on December 1st. Jesus Christ, James.
It is in Fergus Falls. It's already sold out, kids. Either you have tickets or you need to get tickets to the next one when that comes around.
Man, I just pimped the shit out of a thing that they can... Okay, yeah. So y'all haven't gotten your tickets for that, so you're coming to Can Can Wonderland. Like, that's just... Mm-hmm. Decision's been made for you, so I'll see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we have to pimp or plug? Because we've been doing it for 10 minutes now. So.
Listeners at home, I love you.
Man, I'm beginning to see why Celsa gets so frustrated with us dragging on and shit.
No.
I'm not actually frustrated. I can understand how he'd get frustrated with it, but... All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for listening. Extra thanks to David Rad McKay for guesting.
Thank you.
The lovely and talented.
The lovely and talented David. Thank you all. Have an absolutely wonderful week. Check out our stuff. Buy True Stone and eat the fucking cake. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.